I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 11. And I'm calling this message, How to Have a Living Faith. Or on the other side, I thought a good title for this message on the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus as well, I would say the good title would be Hello from the Other Side. Lazarus experienced it before Adele sang it. I don't know, that song just gets in my head. Hello, it's me. Hello from the other side. Well, this Easter, we want to think about this side and the other side. Death for all of us is unpredictable for the most part, and certainly, however, inevitable. We may deny it, we may delay it, but ultimately, we all come face to face with the reality of death. We've seen the dark side of humanity, and on this Easter, we are reminded that evil certainly exists. But most of all, we realize that what is real and what is for real and forever is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And my message today is built on this truth that we can rejoice in this hope and that Jesus invites us. He invites us to face sin and sorrow and death with confident hope and expectation when we believe in Him. Jesus made some outlandish statements, if you will. For example, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That's a bold statement. He also said, I and the Father, God, are one. But on a funeral day, a day in which Jesus attended a funeral of his friend, Lazarus. And by the way, you always want Jesus to attend your funeral. On that day, looking at the face of death, of sorrow, Jesus made this incredible statement. I am, verse 25, the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And here's the question that Jesus asked then and now on this Easter that every one of us must answer. Do you believe this? It's a pressing and personal question. Do you believe this? Because this is the claim of Christ that sets him apart from all others, puts him in a category that is different than anyone else who has walked on the earth. I am the resurrection and the life. This is the fundamental truth of the Christian faith, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Before there was a resurrection, there was a Savior, a risen Lord. And if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. I am the resurrection and the life. Some people get uncomfortable with that truth. It's okay to think that Jesus is a powerful prophet or an anticipated Messiah, that Jesus was a winsome and wonderful friend and teacher, compassionate and loving and merciful, even the cross, an example of martyrdom and suffering. But when you begin to claim, as Jesus claimed, I am the resurrection and the life, that's what separates the men from the boys. Because that is the one truth that is essential to Easter, but beyond this day, essential for every day and your destiny. He made this statement facing the problem of death. And as noted, death is a problem. A little background here. As I mentioned, Lazarus was the friend of Jesus, a good friend. Jesus spent a lot of time with this man and this man's sisters, Mary and Martha. And his friend has died. In fact, 4 days entombed before Jesus arrived at this man's funeral service. Reminds us that generation after generation after generation has come and gone, and each generation has buried its dead. There is no escaping death. Death does not discriminate. Death is the most democratic experience in life. We all die. We all participate. And from generation to generation, from decade to decade, from life to life, we have this problem, and it's a problem that medical science can't solve. We can improve life, but we can't change the fact of death. It's an issue that psychology can't settle, philosophy cannot solve. And the reason is because the ultimate problem is the problem of sin, not a popular subject, but doesn't lessen the reality and the impact of sin. And in the Bible, death is linked to sin. Because of sin, death comes, and with death comes sorrow and suffering. Had there been no sin, there would have been no death. The wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death, and therefore we all die, and not just physically, but we are dead, spiritually dead, in our trespasses and sin. That means that we're all born separated from God. We all are disconnected from God. And ultimately, this leads to physical death. Now, Jesus understands our pain and our sorrow. In fact, when Jesus arrives at this little village, Bethany, outside of Jerusalem, when the sisters tell him that Lazarus has died, Jesus wept. Tears puddled up in our Savior's eyes and began to trickle down his face. He wept openly. He didn't try to hide his tears because, you know, they say big boys don't cry. He unashamedly, openly wept because he was brokenhearted by the reality of death. It wasn't supposed to be this way. The fact that people that he loved were suffering and he wept with them, and he weeps with us. He grieves with us. And he shows up in our pain and in our suffering. And in the presence of the great I Am, the risen one, death has to flee. If your marriage is dead, invite Jesus into your marriage and it will come alive again. If your dreams, your career, your future seems dead, invite Jesus into your life, into your world. I've observed over the years, if a church is dead, welcome Jesus into his own church, and that church will come alive. What we are sharing together today as a church is the presence of the living God, Jesus Christ. He is alive, and therefore we are alive in him. The problem of death, the stark reality of death. But then there is the beautiful promise of life, the promise that Jesus gave here. I am the resurrection and the life. If you die, you will live again when you believe in me. I am. Now, I am is a name. It is in fact the name of Almighty God, the great I am. It is the personal name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. I am. And Jesus often took that name unto his own, to himself. And here, when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, it reminds us to say that Easter is more than an experience, certainly more than an emotion. The resurrection is a fact, but before it is a fact, the primary truth of the resurrection is that the resurrection is a person. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who lives. His name is Jesus. The hope of the resurrection is not a dream. It is not a fantasy. It is not wishful thinking. It is the reality of a living Savior who says, I'm making all things new. I am. What does it mean? It means that he is eternally past, present, and future. It means because he is the resurrection and the life, he is not the I was, he is the I am. And it means, therefore, that our past can be forgiven. This is good news because we all have a past. We all have a past. Do you ever want a do-over? For all you golfers, a mulligan. Yeah, we all can look back and there are mistakes and regrets and defeats and choices that we have made that have not honored God. And we look at our lives and sometimes we are just covered with guilt and shame. And as one person put it to me, I just feel like I'm going to spend the rest of my life in the penalty box. And there are people who could be transformed by the resurrection, but they think they are forever stuck in their past. Like spinning your wheels in mud. You just can't get past your past. And then you wonder why you're not happy. The fact is, the good news is that we can have a new life because of Jesus and his resurrection. It's not religion that we are preaching, but the resurrection, the risen one. You say, Pastor, are you telling me that I need to get a little more religion in my life? Absolutely not. Most people need to stop enduring religion and start enjoying Jesus in their lives. You don't need a little more religion. You need a lot more Jesus. We all do. Religion ends where the resurrection begins. And that's in the reality of a Savior who came, who voluntarily, vicariously laid his life down on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He died so that we could be forgiven, and he rose again so that we could be alive again. And I mean really alive, life with a capital L. Our Lord said, I've come that you might have life, life, and more abundantly. And so you can, if you know the risen one, if you believe, you can be forgiven of your past, your present, your future. You can be free of the chains and the addictions and the habits that hold you back. You need, I need a power greater than ourselves. And it's not more willpower. How's that willpower working for you? It works for a while, a few days, a few weeks, maybe a few months. And then we find ourselves back doing the same things that we were doing before. willpower not working. Trying to change your own life is impossible. If you could change yourself, it would have already happened. And you can't, so it won't happen. And there's no amount of self-help, reading books, talking with a friend, taking pills. None of that will enable you to experience genuine change in your life. There's some good things that help us to make better decisions, and I'm not against programs and counseling and all of that, but ultimately, only Jesus Christ can change the human heart. And the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And Christ alone can change us when we have a living faith in Him. When you build your life on the solid rock of the resurrection, when you build your life on the resolve of the resurrection, because the rock rolled and the tomb was empty, and Jesus now is alive in us. And that's the promise of the New Testament. That's the promise of the Bible. That the same power, heads up, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. Resurrection power. No wonder the Apostle Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Ephesians 1 tells us about this power. It speaks of the immeasurable, infinite power of God. This is not some Mickey Mouse power here. This is the power of God. It is the power of the resurrection that brought Jesus out of the tomb. He walked out of the tomb. And that same power is promised in us. His Spirit is alive in us. And therefore, we are ready for any circumstance in life, in any situation. We're going to have problems. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to have trials and even tragedies in our lives. But the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, in other words, I'm ready for anything that comes my way because of the power of Jesus Christ in my life. I am the resurrection and the life. One last thing. Not only is our past forgiven and our present is empowered, but now we have a hope and a future. Our future is secure because of the resurrection. Do you think much about the afterlife? I do. Most people do. Now, I read an interesting study, a survey that was done in America regarding belief in God, church, truths of the Bible, and so on. The interesting thing, the millennial generation, 18 to 25 basically, a little older, fewer and fewer of these say they believe in God. But more and more of them say they believe in an afterlife. Huh? I don't believe in God, but I believe in an afterlife. Do you think about that? Lazarus came back from beyond. Hello, it's me. To say, I've been there and back. Jesus said that Lazarus was sleeping. He said he's sleeping. Think of it as a nap. Now, I have to admit, in this decade of my life, I like naps a lot. I mean, I don't sleep a lot, but, you know, a 5-10 minute nap in the afternoon, especially after lunch, is really a welcome thing. And or you can go long and hard, like, you know, what I call a slobber knocker, you know, on a Sunday afternoon. Really go deep. Naps are good. In fact, Google it. Look it up. It's good for your health, good for your heart, good for your well-being. Naps are good for you. So I don't feel guilty. It's a good thing. And when you take a nap, you look forward to it. When you go to sleep, you look forward to it. It's rest. You wake up and feel refreshed. Jesus is saying it's like sleeping. It's like taking a nap. Not that death is the soul sleeping, because the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord immediately, instantaneously. But Jesus is giving us a picture here. Lazarus is sleeping. Don't be afraid of death. It's like a wonderful rest for your soul. And you will wake up in his presence in heaven. Heaven is a real place. Not a state of mind. Not somewhere out there. But very real. You wonder what heaven is like? What is this earth like? Think of all the good things you enjoy in this life. The pleasures. Your family, your friends. The beauty of nature and of creation. Enjoying a great meal, laughing, lingering long enough to talk, exercising, whatever you enjoy, think of that. Then multiply that times eternity, because heaven is not going to be some way off distant thing. In fact, in the end, when Jesus comes again, the new heavens and the new earth will be one. He's bringing heaven to earth, and we will enjoy life as God always planned it, paradise forever. So again, heaven is a very real but perfect place where there are no more tears and no more terrorists and no more suffering and no more crying and no more pain and no more death, because now our future is secure and we know that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with him, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what he has done for us and because we have believed and staked our very lives and future upon Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, this is like final exams. It's the question of all questions. Do you believe this? Jesus asked it, and he's asking it today. Do you believe this? Those of you who are watching on television, those of you watching on the webcast online, everyone right now in this room, zero in. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And to believe in him is to never, ever die, but to live forever. Easter is the celebration of the living hope that we have in a risen Savior. But in a world that's corrupted by sin, contaminated by evil, it's easy sometimes to be overcome with doubt and fear and miss God's unshakable promises. That's why I want to send you my book, God's Promises for Doubt-Filled Days. This is an encouraging resource because it shares biblical promises right out of God's Word to help you connect with God's presence in your life and comfort you as you face doubts and even distress. This special offer is available this Sunday only, so you can go to our website, jackgraham.org, or you can text the word PowerPoint to the number on your screen and get your copy today. And thank you for helping proclaim the good news of Jesus, the risen Savior, till the whole world hears. You know, with everything going on in the world, we truly need hope. And that's what Easter is about. That's the resurrection.
that there is now hope, eternal hope in Jesus Christ. It's the good news. And in a world with so much bad news and even fake news, Jesus Christ is the good news that God loves you, that He will forgive you, your past, your present, your future, that He will enable you to live for Him by His living Spirit in you, and He secures your future. What could be better than that? That your past, your present, your future, you're walking and living in His forgiveness, you're walking in His power every day, the power of His resurrection, and you know that one day you will see Him face to face. You will be with Him in heaven. That is life. Life with a capital L. If you've not experienced that life, if you don't know Christ in a personal way, many people have religion and have church relationships and have grown up around it and believe in God and all kinds of religious experiences. But I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Have you invited Him into your life? Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior by turning from your sin and trusting in Christ and Christ alone to be your Lord, your Master, your Savior, your friend? If you don't have that confidence, let me lead you in a prayer right now so that you can invite Christ into your life. And if you will sincerely pray this prayer and invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I promise you, according to God's Word, that He will hear your heart and He'll hear your words and He will come into your life. So are you ready? Are you ready to receive Christ? Then pray like this. Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe You died on the cross for my sins, that You rose again on the third day. I call upon Your name to save me, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my life, and to give me the promise and the hope and the future with You in heaven forever. Thank You, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my life. And if you will pray like that, if you will invite Christ into your life, then you can count on the fact that Jesus will come in and do as He promised, and you can be a brand new person. You will be alive in Christ. You will be alive every day. You'll be God's man, God's woman, and you will live in the power of His Spirit. So let me welcome you into God's family. If you're trusting in Christ today, you're in the family of God now, and I want to help you grow in your faith. So why don't you just sign up for my PowerPoint Today devotional? You can do that right now. And what this is relevant, straight up truth from God's Word every day. And this e-devotional will help you get going and growing in your faith. It's for new Christians or veteran believers. Whoever you are, if you want to sign up for the devotional, do that right now, because you can experience Christ every day, Easter every day, because our faith is a living faith, not a dead religion. Thanks for joining us today on PowerPoint. And from my family to yours and all of us here at PowerPoint, happy Easter.